Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritcha. Naram chayeva narottamam devim sarsvatim vyasam tato jayo mudirayet nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke Tir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed, and thus loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised in transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Texts 39 and 40, but we'll only chant the first verse because it's quite long, and I have also been told that I have to keep it short today. Because there's quite an early meeting after the class.
Yannaswaditam guruva prasadita.
Viprascha vidhascha sat anuvitya. Aryana taksurito bha pratarascha. Sarvani bhutani anusuya yaiva. Yat, what? Na, by us. Swaditam, studied. Guruva, superior persons, spiritual masters. Prasadita, satisfied. Vipra, the brahmanas. Cha, and. Vridha, those who are elderly. Cha, and. Satanuvritya, by our gentle behavior. Arya, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. Nata, were offered obeisances. Surida, friends. Bratara, brothers. Cha, and. Sarvani, all. Bhutani, living entities. Anusuyaya, without envy. Eva, certainly. So please listen very carefully. It's a long verse, so we won't repeat it. Dear Lord, though the Pachetas are still offering their prayers to the Lord who has appeared there, looking very beautiful on the shoulders of Garuda. Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respects to Brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friend, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sangsidhir Haritoshanam, the real perfection of life is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vedaishta Sarvar Aham Eva Vedya. In understanding the Vedas, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has actually understood Him surrenders unto Him after many, many births. We find all these qualifications in the Prachetas. They underwent severe austerities and penances within the water, and they did not take any food for a very long time. They practiced these austerities not for material benediction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans and actual devotees of the Lord. An Aryan is one who does not boast. You know what boast means? Brag. Talk about their own glories. They don't try to show off about how great they are. But is an actual devotee of the Lord. Aryan means advanced. Formerly, those who claimed to be Aryans had to be devotees of the Lord. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna chastised Arjuna by saying that he was speaking like a non-Aryan. Shivagavanu vacha kutastva kashmalam idam visame samupashtitam anarya yushtam asvargyam akirti karam arjuna. The Supreme Person, Bhagavan, said, "My dear Arjuna, how had these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets but to infamy." Arjuna, the Kshatriya, was refusing to fight despite being directly ordered by the Supreme Lord. He was thus chastised by the Lord as belonging to a non-Aryan family. Anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. If it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed. An Aryan performs his duty. It is not that Aryans are unnecessarily inimical towards living entities. The Aryans never maintain slaughterhouses, and they are never enemies of poor animals. The Prachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and penances is the avowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. The word nirandhasam means without food. Eating voraciously and unnecessarily is not the business of an Aryan. Rather, the eating process should be restricted as far as possible. When Aryans eat, they eat only prescribed eatables. Regarding this, the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachchati taraham bhaktyuparitam ashnami prayatat manaha." If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Thus, there are restrictions for the advanced Aryans. Although the Lord Himself can eat anything and everything, He restricts Himself to vegetables, fruits, milk, and so on. This verse thus describes the activities of those who claim to be Aryans. Om Jnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanan Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, first of all, I must ask His Holiness Hanumat Prasad Maharaj kindly bless me. Thank you. I was thinking that in the old days, during Vedic Jagyas, there was a referee, and he corrected all the mistakes of the trainees and the unqualified chanters of Vedic hymns. So, Maharaj, please correct any mistake that I make, and forgive me for sitting here in front of you in an elevated position, but this is how I was asked to do it, so trying to do some service here. And may all the Vaishnavas also bless me that I say, what I speak will be beneficial. So in this verse and purport, there's a special emphasis being put on the qualities of the Aryans, especially the importance of penance, of offering respects, of doing one's duty. So, the importance of penance, Prabhupada talks at some length about this. He mentions how the prachetas underwent severe penances within the water and without even eating. And that they didn't practice these penances so that they can get some material benefit, but they wanted to please the Supreme Lord. So this penance is very important. Actually, in the material world, whatever we do, we have to do penance. Just living in the material world is penance because it goes so much against our actual nature. But whether you want to achieve something in this world, either materially or spiritually, some penance has to be there, some putting aside of personal enjoyment. But even if one enjoys personally, it's a penance because it will never satisfy one. But, of course, in the material world, everyone's bewildered trying to do some sacrifice in order to gain some personal happiness or extended personal happiness. And we will come across this in the second canto in our Bhakti Vaibhava class in Chapter 9. Lord Krishna tells Lord Brahma that the highest perfectional ingenuity, that means the use of one's creative intelligence, is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are non-different. Penance, performance of austerity. I create this cosmos by such penance, I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. So anyone who wants to be powerful in any field must perform penances. And a devotee who is engaged in doing sacrificial activities for the pleasure of the Lord experiences the highest happiness. Of course, Prabhupada was, and he has confirmed the prayers. I think who was that this process is only joyful? Who wrote that? This process, and the only penance is that one has to give up one's desire for sense gratification. That the process that these two brothers have given is simply joyful, chanting and dancing. Lochandas. Yeah, there's a song by Lochandas, and he says that the process that's been given is simply joyful. And last night I was noticing some devotees, they were making garlands, and of course they were sitting there for some time. I had to finish some rounds, and I was just walking back up and forth chanting, but I couldn't help noticing how joyful they were the whole time. It was a good hour, more than an hour, that they were working on these garlands, but there was so much happiness emanating from them just by doing this simple service to the Lord. Everything is joyful. So the process of penance that we've been given is joyful. Singing and dancing, of course, the penance is getting up early in the morning to sing and dance. And sometimes we don't even want to be happy because that's the nature of the fickle mind in the material world. But the penance of the Krishna consciousness movement is simply to be joyful, singing and dancing and glorifying the Lord. So the qualities of the Aryans are that they will willingly perform penance for the satisfaction of the Lord. Another quality of the Aryans is that they're always offering respects. Prabhupada says, this verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful, not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans and actual devotees of the Lord. So this quality of offering respect is integral to the process of Krishna consciousness, and I'm sure we all know a very famous verse in this regard about offering respects. Who remembers this verse? I'll give you a hint. Yes. Lord Chaitanya is one of the... He wrote so many beautiful verses about chanting Hare Krishna, which is the penance of with this age of Kali. And that if one wants to be successful in chanting Hare Krishna, one must be willing to offer all respects to others, and one must not expect any respect in return. And one must honor those who disrespect him. That's quite an austerity for the material mind. But if one is able to do this from a platform of spiritual intelligence, recognizing that Krishna is the controller in every situation, then one will be able to chant Hare Krishna constantly in great happiness. So this is the essence of Aryan culture, being able to acknowledge that the personality of Godhead is in the heart of every living being. Verse in the Shri Upanishad, one who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality, one with the Lord, never hates anything nor any being, and he's never in any illusion or anxiety. So this ability to offer respect is especially gained by one who remembers his relationship with the Lord and that the Lord is in the heart of every living being. A special meditation that one can develop. And of course, Prabhupada mentions that an Aryan is one who doesn't boast, who doesn't try to show off his good qualities, but he's an actual devotee of the Lord. But of course, in this verse, one might think, well, these prachetas, they sound like they're boasting, right? They're talking about, well, you know, we've studied the Vedas, we've accepted a spiritual master, and we've offered respects to the Brahmins. They go on and on about everything that they've done. So what is it that sets apart their statements from that of a person who's trying to show off? Yes. Exactly. They said that because the Lord was telling them that he wanted to give them a benediction. So they're saying, yes, we've done all these things, we've done all these activities, but the only reason why we've done them is so that you can be satisfied. So this is the benediction that we pray. Nothing more, that you will be satisfied by all these activities that we've done, only for your pleasure. So they're not actually boasting. They're just saying, well, you want to offer us a benediction in return for this, 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 and this that we've done. But please only accept these activities for your pleasure and for no other purpose. And, of course, if the Lord is pleased, then that will be the benediction. To please the Lord is not an easy thing. I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada, and he said, you think you can please Krishna by your beauty or by your wealth? Krishna has unlimited wealth. And he has so many beautiful gopis and goddesses of fortune and cowherd boyfriends. What does he need? Your beauty. He gave you the beauty. No, Krishna is pleased only by one thing, and that is the devotion that we actually can offer to him. A devotee knows that none of this is possible except by the Lord's mercy. He knows that he can't do anything. Even anything that he offers to the Lord, he's only capable of offering these things to the Lord by the Lord's mercy. And even I've mentioned this in classes before because it's such a special concept it's so enlivening that when the Lord looks at the devotee, he infuses the devotee's heart with all kinds of wonderful desires to please the Lord, just as the material energy infuses one's heart with desires for sense enjoyment. So the devotees become passionate by the Lord's glance, passionate to do wonderful activities to please the Lord. And again, in the case of Lord Brahma's creating the universe, or his prayers and penance to gain power to create the universe, the Lord told him, O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undergone to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. So any desire to please the Lord any capacity to engage in an activity of penance and austerities, and any capacity to actually please the Lord. This is all accepted ecstatically by the devotee. The Lord is being so merciful to me. And then, of course, when the devotee receives that realization of the Lord's mercy, he becomes anxious to give that mercy to others by telling them about the glories of devotional service. Another important aspect that is being described by Prabhupada or highlighted by Prabhupada is the importance of doing one's duty. He said that anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. So that might make one a little frightened that these Hare Krishnas, they're quite fanatic. Sometimes Prabhupada says very heavy things. You're not a devotee? Okay, dead. If people take this out of context, it can be very frightening. But Prabhupada said, if it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed, and Aryan performs his duty. But Prabhupada reassures us, it is not that that Aryans are unnecessarily inimical to living beings. He goes, they don't open slaughterhouses. The point is that any religion that encourages or that can be easily misunderstood, that a wholesale slaughter of animals is just the right thing to do. And of course, such a person who's in a religion like that will immediately say, oh yeah, these Hare Krishnas are violent. And even in some Hindu traditions where meat eating is the norm, they'll easily misunderstand that Krishna and Ram were advocates of violence. And that's what's going on today in India. Many people use the name of Rama and Krishna to mobilize lower class people who are not educated in the actual bhakti tradition or in the tradition of the Vedas to get them into a nationalistic mood. Of course, there's many grievances that low-class people experience in India, but that's not the way. Prabhupada said it's not the way to elevate them. The way to elevate them is to engage them in devotional service. He said any low-class man, a dog eater, he said anyone can be elevated to the status of a Brahmin if he's engaged in devotional service. So it's not by inciting people's anger and warlike qualities that one brings them to the level of becoming an Aryan, but by encouraging and educating them in devotional service. Prabhupada said, the Aryans never maintain slaughterhouses, and they are never enemies of poor animals. The Pachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and penances is the avowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. So although the Aryans are sometimes, not often, called upon to be violent, like Arjuna was called upon to be violent, the emphasis is on humility and self-sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. That is an actual, the emphasis of an Aryan civilization. So thank you everyone for listening patiently. I tried to emphasize the qualities of the Aryans, that they perform penances, in following Prabhupada's purport, that they offer respects. They're very respectful to all living beings. And the emphasis on doing one's duty. And one's prime duty is to know and understand what the Lord wants from one under proper guidance and do that duty. Actually, Jagannath Das Babaji, he said something, I can't say that I've come close to mastering that at all, but he said that steadiness in performing one's duty is essential, even at the cost of one's life. So that's advanced, that when one is very advanced in devotional service, one is willing to sacrifice one's life in order to please the Lord. So if anyone would like to make any comments or corrections or put a question, if I can't answer it, I know someone here who can. So anybody have any comments or... Yes, Madhuga Papabu. Can you speak a little louder, Prabhuji? I can't hear you. You have to speak a little louder. Okay, respect others, yeah. Yes, yeah, that's. I didn't say that. Lord Chaitanya said that. Yeah, if one has very advanced spiritual vision, one realizes that no one can, you know, harm or disrespect him if the Lord didn't allow it. I mean, the extreme example is Judd Bharat. He was being, you know, Judd Bharat in the Bhagavatam. He was the reincarnation of Maharaj Bharat, who had become a deer. And when he felt so bad that he blew it, he had to become a deer. He was an advanced soul. It's not that he minded being in the body of a deer, but that's not what the Lord wanted him to be. But he deviated from his prescribed duties, and he had to take the body of a deer. And then when he took the body of Judd Bharat, he pretended that he was an ignorant person, but he was extremely elevated in spiritual life. He pretended to be ignorant because he didn't want to get deviated again. So because he was pretending to be ignorant, one time some dacoits grabbed him, and they wanted to offer him as a human sacrifice, an unauthorized sacrifice to the goddess Kali. And he just went along with it. He was big enough to fight or to try to get away, but his spiritual vision was so developed that he thought, okay, this must be the will of the Lord that all this is happening to me. And because of his complete trust and surrender, then the Lord deputed the deity, the goddess and the deity, the Kali deity, to break out there of the deity with all her friends. They had a big party at the cost of the dacoits. Ghastly. Because he understood, he didn't think, oh, what are these rascals doing to me? He understood that. But this is a very exalted vision which we need to cultivate. And of course, it can't be done artificially, but it's very desirable. Maybe Maharaj would like to say something more about that? Yes. Right. Classic. That's a classic scene in there. I love that one too. I love that. And he said it without any enmity, but he was just trying to inform him, by the way. And Pontius Pilate said, this man is not a criminal, he's a dreamer. Yeah, because people who are not spiritually awake, they think, Shishwara Gopinath ki jai. And they think that someone who sees God and everything is only dreaming. But actually, they're the ones who are dreaming. They're under the illusion of the illusory energy. Is that okay, Maruko Paul? Or does it seem a little beyond your reach? Yeah, we all think, oh, that's very advanced. But this is our goal, to try to see Krishna's hand in everything that's going on. And sometimes when we're around elevated devotees, we're amazed at how they can see Krishna in everything. And we think, I'd like to learn to do that. And you see that because they have that vision, actually their life goes quite well. Everything turns out quite well for them. Maharaj knows because he's very surrendered to the Lord. Jared, do you want to say something? Yes. About fighting? Yes, that's why we need guidance. That's why we need spiritual guidance. And we have to know who we can go to when we become confused about these things, who we can turn to. And we also have to develop the habit of turning to the Lord in our heart when we're confused. Sometimes we don't have an advanced person or a person that we see as advanced very close by to clear up our confusion. So when we're in a situation that's very difficult, we should be able to turn to the Lord and say, my Lord, I'm bewildered, please help me, that I can behave in this situation in a way that's pleasing for you. And that's the habit that the devotee, please let me know what my duty is so that I can do the best thing in your interest in this situation. And that's the actual pivot for the devotee in difficult situations. He keeps turning to the Lord. And that has to be our habit, keep turning to the Lord. Please guide me. And of course, if we are very habituated to performing our duty in a very regulated way for the pleasure of the Lord, then that will be natural for us, that in the daily situations of our life that we will turn to the Lord. And of course, that means that we don't do our duties mechanically. We do them with feeling. I was also thinking about that last night. I was trying to chant, and I was thinking, if only I could chant with feeling, if only I could chant with for the Lord's pleasure. We do this activity every day anyway, chanting 16 rounds. And sometimes we feel mechanical that we have to finish our rounds. But if we're going to do them every day, why not try to do them for the pleasure of the Lord? And the Lord is pleased by our attempt to hear His holy name, to honor Him by accepting that He's present, that He's non-different from His name. And if we can have that kind of meditation, just like we had this whole weekend with the chanting of Hare Krishna, it wasn't just a happy get-together to jump up and down and have fun dancing. My daughter was online, and I told her, you've got to go online, you've got to see this. And so she was looking, and she goes, is that what you guys do? You just, all weekend, you just sing and dance? So of course, to them, it looks like we're having a lot of fun, and we are having a lot of fun. But it's not only having fun, it's a matter of trying to appeal to the Lord that my heart becomes purified, that I can actually appreciate that that there is another reality which I can enter beyond this body which is always dragging my consciousness into so many undesirable places. But there's a spiritual world, and let me accept that the enjoyer there is Krishna, not me. Bhurajan Prabhu says that if we're not properly, the reason why Krishna doesn't let us into the, or Maya doesn't let us go to the spiritual world prematurely, because if we go there and everybody's glorifying Krishna, we'll say, well, haven't you forgotten something very important? I'm also here. And that would be a disturbance to the pleasure of everybody, including ourselves. So this it's a real penance for the soul in conditional life to accept that Krishna is the one who's the enjoyer. He's the one that's giving everybody pleasure. It's not easy to conceive of it. And to make that our reality is our penance, putting aside our own ideas of what happiness is. Actually, of course, Prabhupada did. He said in this purport, it doesn't matter what you do, material or spiritual, try to do it for the Lord's pleasure. So it's not expected that we can come to the highest level of bhakti yoga immediately. There's different levels of practicing bhakti yoga. That whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever performance penances that you perform, offer it for sacrifice to the Lord. But ultimately, we want that everything that we do is only for one purpose. And that's to give the Lord pleasure. And then we're in our constitutional position. And then we're fully empowered to do many wonderful things that we could never do otherwise. We never do all these wonderful activities that we're doing if we didn't have the touch of bhakti. And what to speak, if we surrender completely, then the Lord can fully empower us. Yes, Gurhari, last point, because we have to end soon. What is it? Oh yeah, Amanina Manadina. Right. 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 Can you give an example, Papuji? Right. Right. But he gets in trouble for that, though, huh? He gets in trouble for not what he considers disrespect. He doesn't tolerate it. Yeah, for one who has been honored, just. Right. Yeah, well, that's Kshatriya Dharma, right? Kshatriyas, they thrive on this respect because it gives them energy to protect the people that are respecting them. And, of course, we've heard this analogy that Prabhupada uses, the idea that sometimes the word affection is called sneha because it naturally descends, but the respect has to... He said the respect goes up and then the affection, it's a cycle, a natural cycle. So it's not that, for instance... If someone is junior to me and they start acting in a very disrespectful way, then immediately I feel my affection becoming a little... At least, not that maybe the affection is still there, but the expression of my affection gets a little blocked because there's no place for it to flow to. So it's not that... when we see someone being disrespectful, we become concerned for them because we see that their spiritual life is... maybe a little bit in trouble because they don't know how to behave naturally in a respectful way or they're not properly trained or whatever. So, of course, for ourselves, we shouldn't feel that we deserve respect, but we have to be concerned if we see that there's a lack of respect. Like sometimes I see that in Vaishnav dealings and I think this is not really what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted certain etiquette to be observed. Not because the respect is the most important thing for an egotistical purpose, but for the for the flow of bhakti to go in a natural way. Respect is important. Prabhupada says that, you know, offering respect to those advanced in knowledge, elderly in knowledge, he said. So not necessarily physically, but even physically, people who are elder, we should be conscious that they... our elder persons, they've had a lot of life experience, and for better or for worse, we should be a little respectful. Maybe someone else has something more to say about that? Jerry? No, Maharaj? Yeah, so that was an initial appeal that he made. Even in one lecture, I heard Prabhupada say, and then in one place, Krishna's telling, anyway, they're old, and if you kill them, they'll get a new body. And Prabhupada, but no one will agree to kill anybody based on this argument. That's what Prabhupada said. So Krishna's using different arguments to try to appeal to Arjuna to shake him out of his illusion. But of course, we know that the ultimate argument is to surrender to Krishna. But as far as respect is concerned, it's not that because I'm in a position that I should be humble, that I just think anything goes, anybody can treat me any way they want, because it's not also good for them. We have to, if we want devotion to develop, we have to observe proper etiquette. That's described also in the Nectar of Instruction, ways that devotees should act among themselves so that bhakti can develop nicely. So respect has its place, but a pure devotee, he's not demanding respect for his own enjoyment, but he wants, if the respect is to be offered, it's because it's to be respected on behalf of the Lord. Just like in the one time there was disrespect offered to this great devotee in the Chaitanya Charamrita. He was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, and he was being disrespected by another person, and he said, oh, I see here we have another Romaharshan Sutta. Who was that devotee? Aviram. Yeah, he used to have a whip, and he used to touch people with it, and they would become ecstatic with prema. So one time he wasn't being properly respected by a pujari. Pujari should have stopped his pujari service and offered respect to him, because he was a representative of Lord Nityananda, and because he didn't do it, he said that the person who was disrespecting him was another Romaharshan Sutta, and we know what happened to Romaharshan Sutta because he disrespected Lord Balaram. So in that sense, we have to understand this principle, study it from different angles sufficient so that we get the correct understanding. Is that help a little bit? Yes. Right. Otherwise, you'd. Yes. Yes. If someone likes my class, I think that Krishna has been very merciful to both me and them. If they feel some more enthusiasm in their devotional service, then I can understand that there's blessings on both sides there, that Krishna has blessed the person, that they could take something from what I've said, and Krishna has blessed me that I could be an instrument, and I feel encouraged. It's okay? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavrinda ki jai.